Senator Smith has now talked for 23 hours and 16 minutes. It is the most unusual and spectacular thing in the Senate annals. One lone and simple American holding the greatest floor in the land.
Get up there with that lady that's up on top of this Capitol dome. That lady that stands for liberty. Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something.
You know, they don't filibuster like they used to, do they? The idea that a solitary senator can start talking and keep talking and talking and talking for hours to stop some legislation, as they did in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, is now a quaint notion. We've been talking about this, dare we say filibustering, about this all week because of the Senate election in Massachusetts, of course. You heard about that one, right? Many, many listeners have written us and sent us their comments one way or another to mytake@thetakeaway.org or called us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE with their reactions. Todd Zwillick has been looking at some of these reactions. He's our Washington correspondent. He hopped on the Acela, and he's here with us in New York. Good to see you in person, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Miles.
Good morning. Two sets of comments from our listeners. Those who blame the rule.
The 60-vote rule is not the problem. The problem is that the Republicans, they are marching lockstep with only the political goal of ruining the president. That's the reason the Senate is dysfunctional, not the rules.
And then there are listeners who blame how politicians play the game.
The filibuster rule is a disaster for democracy. Since most of our senators are, in fact, bought and sold by campaign contributions, nothing of any significance, nothing of any fundamental strength will ever get through. And somehow or other, whether it's done through the Supreme Court, it has to be eliminated. Filibusters destroy change.
And I think we got those sound bites kind of backwards. But you get the idea.
Some people
say it's the rules. Some people say it's the way the rules are deployed. Which is it, Todd?
Yeah, it's do you hate the player or hate the game, right? That's the question in the modern parlance. You know, Miles, the anger over the filibuster and frustration over it is as old as the filibuster. People in the majority always hate it because it prevents the big things they want to do. So in this case today, Democrats across the country or liberal voters are probably livid because filibuster may prevent health care from passing, a big health care bill, or filibuster may prevent another big bill they want from passing. But, you know, in past years, the tables have always been turned. And when the Republicans were in the majority, the Democrats were happy to filibuster. So the filibuster defends the rights of the minority. If you want to run roughshod and get your way and do whatever you want, go be in the House. You know, if you want to have the rights of the minority protected and be a little bit more deliberative and have to sit and talk and decide things and gain consensus, that's why they have it in the Senate.
Which founding father said it, the Senate is the saucer that cools the
I think
hot
it's George, Washington. Thomas Jefferson.
All right, so here, let's listen to another listener explaining why the filibuster matters.
If you didn't have the 60-vote supermajority rule, many issues would go back and forth every time the majority in Congress changed, and it'd be chaos.
So is that the reason to keep filibusters around?
It's a reason to keep filibusters around. That's what consensus does. It lets you pass bills that have staying power. If you could pass a gigantic health care bill, a big health care overhaul worth $1 trillion with 50 votes or 51 votes, well, in two elections when the other side's in control, they'll just repeal it. That's no way to run a system.
So maybe a supermajority is a good thing. All right. You talked also yesterday to the congressional historian, Donald Ritchie.
People have wanted to end the filibusters ever since they were filibusters. Whoever is the majority party has been elected to carry out its agenda. But the rules of the Senate have always given more power, more muscle to the minority. And that's always frustrated the majority, regardless of which party is in the majority.
So it just goes back and forth. The pendulum swings.
Yeah,
the math
well,
changes, and it's just a different group of people
right? But it has evolved, though, right? I mean, it hasn't always been used all the time.
It seems like it's used more, right?
Yeah, that seems true.
And it depends on what you define as a filibuster. Today, any objection that then requires 60 votes, and we won't get down into the weeds, that's called a filibuster. Today, the term filibuster no longer applies to standing on the Senate floor and reading the phone book.
They don't actually do that.
They don't actually do that.
Maybe they should.
Well,
and see it on C-SPAN.
Careful what you wish for, John. You want to give lawmakers even a larger platform to say whatever they want for as long as they want. They'd probably take advantage of it. They can do it if they want to. It's just out of fashion.
Or read from the telephone book.
It might constrain them, though.
It might just do that.
It might do
the opposite. Virtual filibuster. Who knows? You know, you're right. But that brings us to our next caller, anonymously, who says that's part of the problem.
Why don't they change the filibuster rule back to when the guys actually had to speak and waste time?
Smart listener.
It stands now, you know, they bring a bill up. Joe Lieberman says, I filibuster. He can leave and get on, you know, a plane and spend the weekend at his cabin. If they actually had to stand there on C-SPAN and read recipes and let people see them wasting time, that would have a whole different impact. There would be a whole different emotional standing in the country.
I feel like I know this guy.
Yeah. Did you call that in? So what would it take, though? Is it a simple rule change to require them to stand up there? Is that just a custom that they allow?
It's a cultural shift that they no longer do that. It is not a rules change. The rules on the filibuster, aside from the number that you need, you know, it used to be two-thirds. If you think the filibuster's bad now,
it used to be
67 until 1975. Now it's only 60. So it's... And before 1917, there was no way to cut off debate. There was no way to end a filibuster.
No cloture.
There was no cloture at all. So, you know, it's careful what you wish for. I'll say this because the Democrats are in control now and Democrats are frustrated now. Back in 2005, when George Bush wanted to pack the courts with his judicial nominees, the filibuster served the Democrats very well. Mm. And that's where you got to the nuclear option. That was because Democrats were threatening to filibuster George Bush's nominees. So back then, they liked it.
You know, I didn't realize the Senate had a historian. Are you like really good pals with him?
Don Ritchie? Oh, yeah.
He's a party animal.
Him a million times. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Hangs out at the Monocle, right? Yeah. All right. Todd Zwillick, in from Washington, here in New York. Thanks for being here.
Great to be with you guys.